you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, January 27th, 2026. With the crazy weather we've had the last few days, cold temperatures, and people not wanting to travel out, I thought to myself, how can I come up with a couple programs for today and tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends? And I was looking back into the archives and found a two-day interview with my good friend Marlon Livingston, who oversees Cunningham's Children's Home in Urbana. And he continues, after these many years, this interview was 14 years ago, to still oversee that great ministry that's helping children in a variety of ways. And so we'll begin today's program with me talking about prayer and with me introducing Marlon on today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends.
I would pray that your prayer today to start off the morning was, Lord, work in and through me today. Lord, help me advance kingdom purposes. Let me be in the center of your will. Help me walk in cadence with your Spirit's leading. Hey, if you prayed any of those things, you're on the right course. And I know God desires to work in and through you. His word clearly says that if you cast your cares on him, he'll care for you. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. So ask God to order your steps today and then have those lenses tuned in to see what he's going to do in and through you. And it might be a very simple thing. It might just be holding the door open for maybe a woman that has her hands filled with groceries or little children. It might be speaking a kind word into a neighbor's mind and heart. It might be donating your time or energy or effort or finances towards a great cause. And we're going to learn about one of those great causes today, because I have a great friend in the studio with me. That morning theme song, We're Glad You're Here, Everybody Loves You. Well, this is a guy I'm growing to love. His name is Marlon Livingston. He's the director at the Cunningham Children's Home. Actually, his official title is president and CEO, but he's one of those CEOs, one of those presidents, a director that gets his hands dirty. His elbows are right alongside all the workers. He's very involved. In fact, we're in the same Pinnacle Forum group for the last couple years, and I've gotten to know Marlon's heart for the kids. I remember one of the first times I met with him, and he was sharing around Christmas time how his heart just ached for many of these children, some of them at-risk children, some from abusive homes, some that have really seen the worst of humanity, and how his heart just cried out for them because they didn't have parents that cared or parents that were really engaged or involved in their lives. And Marlon has a real, real soft spot for children and those hurting, those that have been abused or violated, or those that just haven't grown up in a loving family, a loving environment. Marlon's been married for about 20 years to Denise, who's a cancer survivor. And so we're going to share a lot of different things today. We're going to talk about the Cunningham Children's Home. We're going to talk about Marlon's spiritual journey and how really at about the age of 30, he finally kind of got it that he wasn't good enough to earn his way into the kingdom. He knew God was real and existed from a very, very young age, but it was almost through like an atheist. He's going to share a little of that story where he was challenged to be baptized and follow the Lord Jesus, and he couldn't earn his way into heaven. We're going to learn a little about a heartache where Marlon lost a brother to a motorcycle accident and some of that struggle of going through life. Why would a loving, caring God allow certain things to happen? I asked Marlon one of his verses, does he have a favorite verse or passage? And he says, Mark, I want to talk a little about Galatians chapter 6. So we're going to talk a little about that. Marlon and Denise have adopted a few children. In fact, their first adoption, Kevin, maybe Marlon, you'll do a little shout out for Kevin, Samuel, and Cameron this morning.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Mark. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And as I said, Marlon and Denise have been married for about 20 years, but because of Denise being a cancer survivor, it wasn't recommended that they would have their own children. And because Marlon and Denise love kids, they adopted Kevin. He's 18 years old. He's a special needs child, but he's really unique. He's a wrestler, an athlete. He's very involved in the Muhammad school system. And we'll have you share a little more about Kevin and Samuel. But then miracle upon miracle, your miracle baby Cameron comes around about 11 years ago. He's 11 years old. Kevin is 18, Samuel's 13, and Cameron's 11. So we'll talk a little about that. Marlin served in the National Guard as recently as 06 and 07. He served in Iraq. So, okay, that's my introduction, Marlin. Thanks for being a friend. Thanks
awesome.
For being involved in my life. Thanks for having a heart for children. And thank you and Denise for adopting children. I know you've also served as foster parents. And so maybe share a little about the Cunningham's Children's Home, because I know that you have over 250 employees. I think a lot of our listeners might think, oh, yeah, don't they serve children or help in the small way? Or I know they have some kind of facility over around Urbana. But this has been around 116 years since 1895. 250 employees. You guys do a lot of things. Tell us about the Cunningham's Children's Home.
As you said, we began in 1895, and what had happened is Mary and Joseph Cunningham, who had no children, gave the home to what is today the United Methodist Women. So we've always had a strong faith history connected to our work at Cunningham. Mm-hmm. Today, the United Methodist Women make up primarily our board leadership, and they have stewarded the home for over 100 years. We have a full-time chaplain on staff, and again, it's somewhat unique. There's a lot of agencies at the turn of the century, particularly, that were founded as faith-based organizations, and one thing I'm really proud of is that we've been able to maintain just that strong tie to our faith history and legacy. And what simply I mean, well, what do you mean by a faith-based agency? Well, it means that it's okay for our staff to acknowledge that they have a relationship with Christ. We have a chaplain on staff. Children have the opportunity to come to Christ. Mm-hmm. And I think if you call yourself a faith-based agency, there's no greater testament mm-hmm. to a faith-based agency. It's, yeah, we provide children with an opportunity to get to know Christ and give their lives to Christ. And I think that's probably the most exciting thing. I've obviously worked in other agencies that were great agencies, but I think the real uniqueness about Cunningham is that it provides that opportunity for kids to get to know Christ. So
now with 250 employees, what are some of the services? What goes on there? Is it one building, many buildings? Do people sleep over? Foster care? What are all the different things you do?
Great questions. A lot of folks just know we have a deep roots in the community, but a lot of folks will say, yeah, Cunningham, it's a great place. After that, they really don't know what we do. So I appreciate the question. We have about 50 children who live on our main campus program. It's a campus, 34 acres. It's beautiful. A lot of people drive by there for decades, think it's a nice park because we kind of sit off Cunningham mm-hmm. Avenue in Urbana, and we have well-manicured lawns and everything. And so a lot of folks just simply think that it's a big park, or maybe it's just they can only see one building. But if you drive on our campus, it's a fairly large campus, 34 acres. We have 50 children who live on our main campus. The majority of those children, not all, but the majority of those children have been unsuccessful in foster care, that their abuse and neglect histories have been so profound, and their emotional and behavioral problems are so severe that they've had multiple failed foster care placements, and mm-hmm. they come to us. They live with us. It used to be the case they used to grow up at Cunningham. Now it's really more of a treatment center, and so kids stay with us for about 2 years, and then they transition either into one of our independent living programs or into maybe one of our foster care program where we have specialized foster parents who are called to serve children that with special needs. Mm-hmm. And so what a lot of folks don't know is that we have a school on our main campus that serves the surrounding community, where children have not been abused or neglected but have special educational needs. Maybe they're on the autistic spectrum or have emotional behavioral problems that really have interfered with them being successful in public school. And so we have some very highly trained teachers and teaching assistants and social workers all on staff there to work with them educationally. Mm-hmm. And we have about 70 children who come to our campus every day for school and then go home every night mm-hmm. to parents. And so it's something that a lot of folks don't know that we do. And we have a foster care program and an independent living program. About 30 children who live out in the community between 18 and 21. We're kind of the nosy big brother, big sister, mm-hmm. uncle, aunt, parent. I mean, we're all in their business, coaching them through either going to vocational training or college or both. And that's what we do. A lot of work. It's very tough work. I think you have to have be pretty well-centered to work with some of the challenging kids that we have at Cunningham. But I believe also we have a spirit that we consider our work mission work. So it's not, I believe, my job, and I believe this is shared by a great majority of our staff, that this work, that we're called to do it.
And God's equipped you to it. And I've noticed and watched you for the last few years, and you have such a tender heart for kids and a desire to have them grow and to flourish and to have God as the center of their lives. At the end of the program, we'll give this information out also, but what's a phone number, and is there a website for some of our listeners maybe to get involved? I know you accept donations, and you can always utilize volunteers and resources. I know people have donated farmland, and, you know, with 250-plus employees and all the children that you reach, I'm sure there's some of our listeners that are going to say, gosh, I love Marlon's heart for these kids, and I've heard great things about the Cunningham Children's Home. Maybe I need to go by there and visit or know a little more. What's a phone number and a way for people to find out more information?
You can call us at 217-367-3728 or www.cunninghamhome.org. And everything, all the information about all of our program services, how you can get involved in Cunningham is on our website. And so about 85% of what we do is funded by the state. We have about 15% of what we do the state does not pay for. And we think that 15% of what we do includes our spiritual programs and the chaplaincy program and a lot of things that really allows us to be a different place for kids.
Well, you grew up as a kid in a home that you went to church and you knew God, and yet it wasn't until later on in life that you really started realizing, you know, I can't earn my way into heaven. And I think many times our listeners may be very similar. They try to do all the right things. They are compliant. Maybe they don't act out where they're really rebellious, but they never really realize that God loves them just for who they are. Take us through a little of your narrative and some of the ways where you've seen God kind of preparing you for the very work that you're doing now. And then I'd also like you to address where you and Denise decided to adopt a special needs child. Now, Kevin is African-American, but he's your child. But it wasn't like you just went out and found this Irish-looking kid. Tell us a little about that adoption. So a little of your testimony and then how you've seen God work in and through you and Denise.
Great. Grew up in Church of God, born and raised in Charleston, and I was scared of the devil from my earliest memories. So I was always a God-fearing young man. My mom would remind me often about the devil, I was scared of him. So, you know, acknowledging or having questions about whether there was a God or how he fit in, I never really went through that. I guess maybe part of the uniqueness of my coming to Christ is that, it's the New Year's, and I would often take an inventory of, should I accept Christ and be baptized? Which, I was raised, that has to happen, or you may not get into heaven. So I lived with this burden every year, and I would take an inventory of, like, you know what? I'm probably not good enough to be, God's grace. I know he loves everybody, but probably not, considering what I'm doing. Maybe not.
Yeah.
And I need to be really working harder. I mean, I need to be reading the Bible every day. Otherwise, I'm not worthy of the grace of God. So I struggled with that. And actually, it was, I don't know how we got on the topic. I think a friend of mine had a family member that was getting baptized, and he was not a Christian. And he said, he's talking to me about being baptized and asked me if I had been. I said, I really don't think I'm really living my life. I've got too much sin in my life. To be a Christian right now, I'm really going to try to work at that. And his response was, you're probably never going to be good enough, sin free. I mean,
and this
serious,
is not a
Marlon.
Christian. This is just
right?
Somebody that's kind of saying, well, I don't think you're going to ever earn your way into heaven.
Right. He's just calling it for what it is. And I was driving home, and that's that day. I said, I gave my life to Christ then. And ready to take, quote unquote, ready to take the plunge. And so I that's kind of my faith walk. So I'm grateful for that friend who pointed that out to me. And even to this day, I struggle a little bit about, I think when you go to church, and I really didn't know this, when you go to church as a young person, you kind of think like everybody's holy and there's very little sin in the room. I think as an adult and as you mature, and particularly when you get into small groups, when you start really being transparent about your challenges, that's when you really learn, like, holy mackerel, I thought I was sinning,
Now, you happen to use this as an illustration because I'm in one of those small groups.
No, Mark, right. Yeah, exactly, Mark. I mean, compared to you, I mean, no, I'm just kidding. But, it's really, you know, there's folks going through a lot in the church and a lot of struggles. And that growing up, that was not my vision of church. And I think maybe that's why it turns people off from church. Maybe they go there and maybe think like everybody in the room is getting it right.
Right.
And, you know, as I've come to know some very Christian folks, you know, we're not all getting it right.
Yeah.
And we're not going to.
Nope. And that's why we all need a savior.
Exactly.
You know, thank you, God, for sending the Lord Jesus. Well, the Lord sent you Denise. Tell us a little of that love story and how you guys both came to terms with, let's be foster parents, leading towards adoption. And then you've adopted your first two children, and then the miracle baby Cameron came along.
Right. Well, you know, my wife and I, one of the things that attracted us to each other, we were both fairly active, and we really didn't want to have kids. And we were okay with the proposition of not having kids. So we fell in love. We got married, and again, really never felt like we needed to have children. I mean, it just wasn't on our agenda, if you will. Probably selfish, I think, to some degree. Didn't want the bother, the intrusion on our time. So ultimately, as I began my social work studies at the University of Illinois in their MSW program, we had a presentation. Someone come in and talk about foster care, and then I went home and I talked to my wife, you know, Denise, and said, "Hey, you know, we talked about never really having our own children, but this would allow us, you know, to kind of be part-time parents, you know, take it, you know." So really not knowing anything about the foster care system. So we went through the licensing process and began to take foster children. So we were foster parents probably 5, 6, 7 years. And then ultimately, you know, one of the children we had, his name was Kevin, and came to us, you know, 14 months old. He was prenatally exposed. And, you know, with the foster children, you know, you love them all, but there's something special about Kevin. And he became available for adoption. And they said, "Hey, you want to adopt Kevin?" And it was like, wow, you know, this is a change of plans. This is a little different. And we prayed about that and just didn't feel well. They said, "Well, you know, we need to make a decision. Kevin needs a forever family, and we need to start setting up interviews, you know, with other people. If you're not going to adopt Kevin." At the same time, my wife got cancer, and Kevin had to leave us for a period of time, for about a year, as she went through cancer treatment. As she began that recovery, and it looked promising that she was going to come out on the other side of that, okay, we felt a big hole in our hearts, in our families, because Kevin was not with us. So we went to Cracker Barrel, and at Cracker Barrel, we decided we got to make Kevin part of our family. We said, "Hey, stop looking for adoptive families. We are your adoptive family. We want Kevin to be with us." And so we adopted Kevin. We knew he had special needs. We didn't know exactly what they all were. But Kevin, it's peculiar because when you talk about being a foster parent or adopting children, a lot of folks think that's like this benevolent, you know, thing. But we consider it a blessing. We consider this a gift, no different than a biological child. So we don't consider it, to be honest, like charity. At all. I mean, we feel good that we've done it. But, you know, we have three children. The path of the children who came to us, it just took different paths. But it was always part of, we believe, God's plan for those children to be with us. And so a few years after we adopted Kevin, we got a call from our adoption worker and say, "Hey, you know, there's a woman who is pregnant. She has some children in the foster care system. She wants to give her child up for adoption." I think she was about 6 months pregnant. And we actually were interviewed by her. We had to put together a portfolio, and she interviewed three families, and boom, we were selected by her. So we brought Samuel home when he was 3 days old, and has been part of our family for the last 13 years. And then the miracle baby, which when Denise had cancer, she had lymphoma, and we were told that it's unlikely because of the chemo treatment that she would not be able to have children. And you know, God's got a sense of humor, and he sent us Cameron, who is a funny young man who makes us laugh, and, you know, we're just very blessed to have three children. So Cameron is, in a sense, our miracle child, but to be honest, you know, they're all three miracles kind of in their own way, so.
Well, Marlon, I know there's much more to the story, too, on how God has specifically entrusted these three children to you, along with the other children that were in your home for a period of time as you were foster parents, and some of that story on meeting up with Denise. And I want to talk a little about Galatians chapter 6 and how God's used that in your life. So I'm going to ask for you to hang around here, and we're going to continue as Dobson used to always do, having you in the studio and recording a part two. That way we can talk a little about that National Guard experience over in Iraq, and then your brother who died in a motorcycle accident, and how you navigated through those emotions, and how that came after you were connected with God, but it kind of threw a wrench in your whole walk with the Lord. And as typical of many of us, some tragedy can come into our lives, and then we're like, why would a loving God allow that to happen? And suddenly we act out, or, you know, we turn on him, if you will, or we just fall away. So I'm going to ask our listeners to stop by the Cunningham website, and that is www.cunningham.org. Cunningham.org, CUNNINGHOME.org. So Cunningham.org. And what's your phone number there?
217-367-3728.
So that's 217-367-3728 to find out more about the Cunningham Children's Home, where they don't shy away from letting people know that God loves these children and desiring them to know Jesus and to allow them to flourish for kingdom purposes. So tune in again tomorrow at the same time, and you can hear a part two with Marlon Livingston. He calls himself the director of the Cunningham Children's Home, but his actual title is president and CEO, a friend of mine, and he's part of a Pinnacle Forum group. And so I hope some of you will get involved and volunteer or assist financially with the Cunningham Children's Home there in Urbana. It's been around for 116 years. So tune in again tomorrow, and we'll talk some more with Marlon Livingston. And I just pray that this new year is off to a great start for you. And remember, God wants to work in and through you, so allow that to happen. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night. And let me also remind you to stop by our website, greatnewsradio.org. Our streaming audio is up and running, so both radio stations, WGNN and WGNJ, can be accessed through your computer, your iPad, your Droid phone, your iPhone, anything that can pick up the internet connection. You can go directly to greatnewsradio.org, click on the streaming audio page, and you can listen online or paste that link into your browser, and you can listen on whatever device gets internet. Thank you, God, for Phil Shepherd with the Moody Broadcasting Network that helped us put that all together the last few days. And we pray God will allow you access to our radio ministry through these new means. Once again, stop by greatnewsradio.org. Have a look around our website, and you can always post a message or fill out a survey online. And be sure to remember to join us at the same time tomorrow for part two of my discussion with Marlon Livingston, the president and CEO of the Cunninghams Children's Home in Urbana, Illinois. And if for whatever reason you can't make it at this time tomorrow, the program will be archived at greatnewsradio.org under the Archived Programs link under 2012.
Now, if you were listening closely and you said 2012, that's 14 years ago, you would be right. With the snow and the weather and scheduling and such, I was looking back into our archived programs and found this two-day interview that eased some of the pressure on all the different things I'm doing, and yet still honoring God and featuring a dear friend who still attends the Pinnacle Forum with me and still oversees Cunningham Children's Home. But you would have to add 14 years to the things that were shared. Like, his three sons are 14 years older. He's been married to Denise for an additional 14 years. And Cunningham's Children's Home has been around for over 100 years. So add 14 more years to that total. But I appreciate Marlon Livingston, his passion still for the children, and his desire to help these that have been oftentimes just discarded, not visited by their parents anymore, almost treated as castaways, how he and his whole team still values them, loves on them, and attempts to do all they can to help them become good citizens. Now, since the recording of this broadcast 14 years ago, just around 5 years ago, we added the 15 WLUJ family of stations to the network. And also last year, we added WDKR and KMDY, making us 21 stations strong, all to God's glory. And so I should mention, if you also want to stop by WLUJ.org, you can click on the Mark and Friends tab. tab and listen to this and 14 years of programming where we continue to educate, edify, and evangelize in all we do. Well, tune in again tomorrow at the same time as a blessing awaits you. Have a great day, stay warm, and thanks for listening to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends.